Welcome to Juno Afternoon from listener-supported KTOO. It's Tuesday, October 17th, 2023. I'm your host, Boston Christopher Gunathchish Hawa Salamat, for joining the conversation. On today's show, tomorrow night, October 18th, KTOO 360 TV will air Tracing Roots, A Weaver's Journey, all about Haida Elder and weaver Dolores Churchill. We'll chat with Dolores and documentarian Ellen Frankenstein. This weekend, the Juno Symphony teams up with Juno Lyric Opera for a two-night production of Candide. We'll have a preview. And first up, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Today, we'll chat with members of the Capital City Fire and Rescue Team about their partnership with Bartlett to raise awareness. Those conversations, music, and more. Coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Hands and grass, ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk are ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta kanakaya ha anikach, gunish cheese.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years. With cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
It's been raining in Manila and Cabani Lalo.
That's Lola Amor with Raining in Manila, our ongoing music playing of Filipino music in honor of Filipino American History Month, as well as the Maga Cuento Project here at KTOO, a podcast and an ongoing exhibit at the museum. For more information on that, you can go to ktoo.org/magacuento. That's MGAKUWENTO. Or there's a big button on the homepage at KTOO. You're listening to community supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Ock Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and my next guests are both firefighter EMTs with Juno Career Firefighters. They are partnering with Bartlett Regional Hospital this month to promote awareness and information about breast cancer. Welcome now, Sadie Inman and Sarah Kennard. Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Oh, I had the wrong microphone up for you. Sarah, there you go. Now you can say hi.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Of course. Welcome, welcome. Okay, so let's first find out about you both. And tell us a little bit about you both, where you're from, and how long you've been working as a career firefighter.
So I am originally from North Carolina. Moved up here for the weather and the mountains.
Nice.
And I've been working full-time with the department for a little over 2 years.
Awesome.
I've actually been with the fire department about the same amount of time. Sadie and I actually were lucky enough to go through our fire academy together.
Oh, wow.
I've been here about just over 10 years. I did the tourism thing originally and eventually found my way to the fire department.
That is cool. So I think people would love to know, like, what's it like to be a firefighter / EMT here in Juneau? Who wants to take that one?
I'll go ahead with that. It makes you very aware of the community. You feel like you get to know people on a little bit of a different level, and it really kind of brings a lot of satisfaction knowing that usually you're able to help people on some of their worst days possible. And even when it's not their worst day possible, it makes you feel like you're a really great part of the community.
I know the police department often mentions, like, because we live in a small town, and they describe it as, like, usually police officers work in the opposite town from where they live. Is that the same with firefighters sometimes, or is that not the case?
A lot of the time down south, people just don't get the chance to work in their town. They don't do it on purpose. But of course, in Juneau, that's not an option here.
Right.
But I think it's definitely a gift to be able to work in your community. It really gives you ownership of your community.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know I just want to shout out another one of your coworkers, Lily Kincaid, who helped me out last year, and also firefighters Sean and John when I had a slip on the black ice and broke my hip. And I just remember them. I was a little out of it, but I remember them fondly. And also Sylvia helped me as well, Sylvia Medeiros. And so that was just a real pleasure to be able to. I'd never interacted with the fire department or the EMTs in all my time here in Juneau. So that was my first experience. And it was a rough one for me, but it was a really great one because I think I had a really great team. So do you all do the scheduling? I hear that firefighters and EMTs have like 2 days on and 2 days off. And or what is your schedules like? How does that work?
Usually we're 24 on, 48 off. But a lot of the time we end up, you know, picking up overtime shifts, which brings you into a double. So 48 on, maybe 24 off, maybe 48 off if you've scheduled it right. But then, yeah,
I see. Okay.
Right back.
And we're about to get into talking about what we're here to talk about, but just one more question, which is, are we in need of firefighters?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
It's a nationwide problem, but it's especially an Alaska problem. Without a pension, as we haven't had one in more than a decade, we've lost a lot of people to states that do have pensions, Washington.
Okay. And how do people find out how to become a firefighter? Or an EMT?
You would visit juneau.org/fire.
Okay.
That's where we would always post job postings. As soon as we have openings, they will create what's called a list where they'll go through a whole testing process to create a group of people that they can pull from to hire from. So really before, if you're here in Juneau and you're interested in becoming a firefighter or you're just interested in EMS, joining as a volunteer, that's how both Sadie and I got started.
Oh, okay.
And so that is, you can go to, like I said, juneau.org/fire, or you can follow us on any of our social handles at IAFF430. And it's a really great way to get connected to the program, really.
Oh, that's great. I'll post a link to that on the website for today's show as well. So that's cool. Okay, so Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It's very important. You have a partnership with Bartlett. How did the partnership come about?
Last year was our inaugural year, and I reached out to Bartlett to see if they would be interested in sponsoring getting us t-shirts for the fire department for us to wear for the month of October. One of our local firefighters did a design, and we wore t-shirts for the whole month. We're out in the community, and people are able to see that, and we were able to raise awareness that way. This year, the Bartlett mammography team is also wearing those t-shirts, which is awesome. And we're looking for more ways to raise that awareness, like coming on the radio.
Absolutely. That's so great. So what kind of things, in addition to the t-shirts, what are you looking, what's the message that you want to get out there, and how are you doing that? Obviously, I'm sure you're using your socials and all that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, of course. I mean, in general, we want to make sure that people are aware that early preventative measures are the best way to ensure a better outcome for the majority of patients. But of course, here in Southeast Alaska specifically, we want them to know what their resources are.
Yeah.
And so the Bartlett actually has state-of-the-art 3D mammography exams. And that is the best way to kind of get yourself started. You can talk to a local provider or you can call. They have a phone number set up, 907-796-8800.
8800-796-8800. That's pretty easy to remember. That's a good one. Yeah, I know. When we had Bartlett on at the beginning of the month, and it was great to hear about that machine because it's been sort of revolutionary in terms of being able to, they were describing the process in terms of how it works and that it's just been great. And we were mentioning then, and I think it's worth mentioning again, that 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetime. And since 2020, there have been over 685,000 deaths. It's the leading cancer worldwide. Which is amazing. I don't know what the numbers are specifically for Alaska, but I know that it's estimated in the United States that there's over 43,000 deaths in 2022, which I think is just, that's too many.
It's astronomical.
that's too many. And so I think the idea, what you're talking about in terms of prevention is really important, right? Like in terms of, it's not just about awareness. I mean, yes, we could like paint a fire truck pink or something like that, right? Like mm-hmm. put a bow on them or whatever. I think that would be cool. but we also want to, it's so much about, it's definitely raising awareness for those who are struggling with the disease or not, but it's really about prevention, right? So what can people do? What are some of the things that they can do early, besides mammography, is there other things that people should be doing?
Yes. Monthly breast exams are one of the fundamental things of just checking yourself so that you're familiar with your own body and so that you notice skin changes or new lumps. If you do notice lumps or skin changes, you should definitely get those checked by a primary care provider.
Yeah. And there's resources that you can find online to know how to do that. Or when you see your doctor next time, double check and say, how do I do this exam for myself? Because that's pretty important. I think there's also things that people can do. I read this great article, which was helpful for me to just sort of know about, like, you know, donating clothes or helping to drive people to, you know, doctor appointments if they need it, because some people aren't able to do that. And also spreading the word, which I think in the days of social media, so much of the time we hear bad stuff, but we want to hear good stuff, and prevention and this kind of thing would be good for that, right?
Absolutely. It's especially important to us, just especially as female firefighters. I'm not sure what the exact statistic is, but we actually have a higher chance of contracting breast cancer. A lot of our fire gear is actually it's created with PFAS, which I think a lot more people are familiar with that term these days. But that, and just in general, kind of the environment that we work in, just super higher chances of being contracted with breast cancer. So we want to really make sure that we have the best chance for our patients.
Of course.
And I have that statistic. So firefighters are 9% more likely to be diagnosed with any sort of cancer, and we are 14% more likely to die from that.
Wow. I mean, you're putting yourselves in harm's way for the good of saving human beings and cats and all that good stuff. So that's really nice. And for those who don't know, Sarah, what is that? What is the material you were mentioning?
PFAS is the abbreviation for it, but I actually don't know the full name for it off the top of my head. But it is one small component of sort of what puts us at risk. Granted, we do take measures every time we are kind of in a higher risk environment, such as after a fire, using wipes to try to make sure that we limit our amount of contact with carcinogens on scene, things like that.
Is it the carcinogens from like the air from the fire and the smoke? Is it those kinds of things that can, because it can get into your lungs as well as these materials?
Mm-hmm. The yeah. days of smoky, what we call salty helmets, the guys with the, you know, the black soot on their face, those are long gone.
Yeah. Yeah. What were you going to say, Sadie?
I lost.
Oh, it's okay. No problem. That's all right. So how do we find out more? I know we can go to Bartlett. You gave a phone number for Bartlett. Is there other resources or is there places that people could go online that you know of that would be helpful for them to know here on the show?
The Bartlett website also has a page under their diagnostic imaging, as well as I believe it's, I'm not sure if I've got it written down, but there is a national website. If you look up breast cancer, there is a national website that has statistics on it. It has breast exam tips. It has all sorts of things.
Yeah, I think it's National Breast Cancer Awareness, something like that. And it's .org. You can Google it because it has a great thing. And I was going to mention this. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, too. But when you're doing your social media and you're helping make people aware about it, because as we were talking about, it's not just about awareness, right? It's about prevention. And they have this hashtag that they're using called More Than BCAM, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It's more than that. There's more you can do. There's things you can reach out to, double check with those that you love and your friends and all those kinds of things to be able to educate yourself about what's going on and how you might be able to help. And I'm talking to both men and women everybody, really, that you can help out because this is the leading cancer worldwide. And it is definitely something I don't know if it's preventable, but it's definitely catchable, right? The early you catch any cancer, the better you are, the better off you will be, right?
And the more that you know about the process of breast cancer, the better support you might end up being for someone near you, close to you, going through this. You won't be able to identify with exactly what they're going through, but the better support they have, the better outcome for that person.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a great resource for that locally is Cancer Connection. You don't have somebody locally who you can reach out to, it was founded by somebody who had cancer in Southeast Alaska and realized there weren't a lot of resources. So they're there for you to reach out to talk you through the process and to help you with that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great. And is there a place we can follow Juno Career Firefighters? Give the Instagram one more time, or do you also have a Facebook?
We do. We have both. And luckily enough, it's the same handle for both of them. So it's IAFF4303.
4303. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's cool. Sarah and Sadie, thanks for coming in and telling us a little bit about prevention. Is there anything else that we want to mention that we didn't get to?
Nope. Just go get your mammogram.
Yeah, get your mammogram. Bartlett's got that great device. And you can find out more there at bartletthospital.org and look at their diagnostic imaging radiology page. And you'll find out some more there. So thanks so much, Gunther Cheese, for being here today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you as well.
Up next, Dolores Churchill is a Haida elder and weaver. Ellen Frankenstein is a documentarian who made a film about Dolores. We'll chat with both here next on Juno Afternoon from KTOO. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Kléné Di have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot, once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. We'd like to take a moment and say thank you to the individuals who helped us craft our daily land acknowledgement. Gunnith Cheesh to Vera Starbart, who planted the idea of making it super place specific and guided us on pronunciation. Lillian Petershore, who created so much of the beautiful structure. Ishmael Hope, who gave us additional ideas. And Ernestine Hayes, Bob Sam, and Fran Houston, who gave important feedback. We are grateful to all those offering guidance as we grow as an organization.
These three hunters found the body in the crevasse. The ice had melted, exposing the Lango men. When the archaeologists and anthropologists came in on the helicopter, the wind from the blades stirred up the area around where the body was, and the first thing they saw was the hat flew up in the air.
The connection was immediate because I'm a weaver, and the first thing I thought of was, I want to see that hat. I want to be able to teach people how that hat was made.
Adventurous, gone all the time.
That's a weaver too.
She is indeed a national treasure.
And just very generous in giving up her time and her knowledge.
If you were going to be stuck on an island with any one person, who would it be?
Starts with a D.
Dolores Churchill.
No matter what happens, I'm not disappointed because I've proven whatever it is that it's supposed to be.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, and I'm honored to be able to host this next segment. We just heard trailer audio for Tracing Roots, A Weaver's Journey, a film about Haida Elder and weaver Dolores Churchill. It was made by Ellen Frankenstein and will air tomorrow night, October 18th at 8 p.m. on the statewide on KTOO 360 TV. It's a pleasure to welcome now Ellen, who is camping at the moment and joining us via Zoom somewhere where it's 110 degrees. Ellen, can you hear us?
I can hear you, and I bet I'm sweating more than anybody in Juno.
Probably. And let me check. I've tried. We were having some difficulty maybe trying to get Dolores on Zoom, but I'm wondering if she might have joined us via the phone. Dolores, are you there? I'm not sure if Dolores... I hear some static on the line, but I don't know if I hear Dolores. So we'll check back with that in just a minute here. We'll see if we can... get Dolores on the line, but she's in Ketchikan. Oh, wait, I hear somebody. Dolores, are you there? Oh, well, shoot. Technology and live radio, sometimes they don't go together. all right.
Well, working on it because, yeah.
Well, yeah, let's start with you, Ellen. If they can, I know they were trying to join the Zoom as well, but it's really an honor to have you here. Talking about this wonderful film. Tell us a little bit about Dolores and how this film came about.
Well, first of all, it was a super honor to work with Dolores, probably one of my favorite projects ever. And it started out as no one had really made a film about Dolores at this point. And she is unbelievable what she's done for weaving, for culture, for the community, the way she looks at the world. So we started out by filming her teaching, and then I realized what an incredible person she was. And I've got to think about when we talk about elders, we often have their life go backwards, like a biography. And I realized at that point, Dolores was in her 80s, and she was teaching me a lot about aging and aging well. So I decided we should go on an adventure. I got a grant from the Alaska Humanities Forum through my nonprofit Art Change, and I asked her what she wanted to do. And so we set out on this journey to understand. It was something she wanted to do, was to do some more research on Kwadon Chi, I'm not pronouncing it exactly perfectly, the long ago person, and this woven spruce root hat that was found in a retreating glacier. And so the film is a 30-minute film which goes back and forth in time, and we go on a journey together.
Oh, that is wonderful. That sounds amazing. And it is an honor to sort of, you know, look at Dolores's life. And it's around this mystery, right, that you have with the hat and everything. Yep. We heard in the trailer. Tell us a little bit more about Dolores and her work and her sort of reputation there.
Well, again, forgive me, because I feel as this non-Indigenous person who's so lucky to have spent a chunk of my life in Southeast Alaska. Dolores and her family have been so key in keeping weaving alive. And they did it across tribes and clans. And also language is super, super important. So she's one of the highest speakers. And she and her family have run around all over the state and other places researching weaving and teaching it.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I really wish I could connect. I can hear them on the phone, but I don't think they can hear me for some reason, which is a real bummer. Wondering if you might be able to text Gloria, the daughter, and just this is a little awkward in terms of how we do it here, but if you could just have her, you know, have Dolores come on and talk about the film a little bit. If that's possible, because we can hear them. They just can't hear us.
Yeah. Because, you know, as a filmmaker, one of the rule thing I like to do is I like to hide. I like to make things and work with amazing people.
Yeah.
And then disappear. I'm this person who spent a lot of time in the dark room as a kid and as a teenager until static photography went away. And, there she is.
Yeah, there we go. I can hear them. Go ahead. Let's see if she'll say something.
They can hear you, and you're on live. So talk about tracing roots.
Well, how Ellen got involved was there was a person that was going to do a story about me for the archives at the University of Alaska Sitka campus. But then one of his parents was ill in Colorado, so he had to go back to take care of that member, a family member. And so the university hired Ellen to do a story about me. But when she started the film, she said it was really easier to do a story about what I was doing now and what I planned for the future. So that is how Ellen got involved in this, the tracing roots. And it was kind of difficult to track me because I was always traveling, so it took many years instead of just a few months.
That's perfect. All right. You can text them and say that's perfect, Ellen. And thank Dolores for her time. Unfortunately, we can't really speak with her more than that. But it was great to, you know, just definitely tell them, you know, Hala and Gunath Jeesh, and thank you so much for taking the time out, and apologize for I'll have to email Dolores as well and apologize for the technical difficulties.
Well, yes, we understand. But I got to say, Dolores, it was such an amazing thing. We ran around and showed the film in Kluak. We showed it at museums and at Harvard and Yale and the Smithsonian, and we showed it on college campuses. And what Dolores would say around the film and how she would inspire people, it was just profound. And it was also really fun. This project brings a lot about how modern Indigenous artists use what museums have collected. And I think one of really fun experience with this film is that we'd be in museums and I'd watch the curators in their white gloves and coats, and everything that Dolores said, they would write down.
Oh, wow.
And with great respect and love, but it was just really an amazing experience to see that. And the joy that Dolores creates wherever she goes is like, it's just something amazing.
That's so great. Well, it airs tomorrow night here on 360 TV. It'll be broadcast statewide at 8 p.m. You can watch it here at kto.org or on your local cable system, wherever you get your 360 TV. You can also find it on the Apple TV app as well as the Roku app. So it's easy to find. It plays at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. And Ellen, while I have you on the line, what else do you have coming up?
Well, thanks for asking. I also saw that it's repeating tomorrow at 11.
Oh, great. So it'll be on at 11 as well.
Yeah, I do want to say that as an independent filmmaker, and I'm sure if there's other people listening like that, I believe in use and all the effort of the people that have worked on a film and the hours you spend making it. The more eyeballs and the more people see it and the more it affects them, that makes it worth it. So I encourage people to listen. And I have another film that was just finished about a month ago, which isn't as joyful to me, but it's about Sitka having a cruise boom. And it's about cruise ships and communities dealing with the growth of tourism and what that means to them and what questions that raises and how we can shape it. And I know that's relevant to Juno. And so on the 10th, Cruise Boom is going to be shown as part of an Egan lecture out at UAS with Jim Powell talking. And then I'm showing it at Gold Town on the afternoon of the 11th on November. And I'd really love to see people at that. The film won't have you feeling warm and happy, like I think after you watch Tracing Roots, but I think it's really relevant to our communities and the time we're in.
Absolutely. And where can go ahead. Sorry.
And there's a website you can go to learn about either of these films. You go to artchangeinc.org. Just Google the nonprofit Art Change. And this thing is cruiseboomfilm.com or just cruiseboom the film. And I'll have some more information, but and maybe we'll talk before then, but I'd really love to see some friends and fellow folks in Juneau at this screening and keep the conversation going about how we shape tourism to work for everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah, we should definitely have you back for that. I'll be in touch with you about that. But for now, we want to make sure that everybody watches Tracing Roots. It's on tomorrow. You can also find out more about that at artchangeinc.org/tracing-roots-cover. It'll be playing here on KTOO 360 TV. And you can also find out more information at KTOO.org. Ellen Frankenstein and Dolores Churchill, Haida Elder and Weaver is the subject of the film. We were able to hear a little bit from her today. It was really a pleasure to have you on, Ellen. Thanks so much for taking time out. I hope you're not going to sweat too much more in the 110 degrees. We could use a little bit of that. You could share a little bit of that heat with us, but that's great. So we'll get in touch and everybody will enjoy watching this film tomorrow. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks so much for having you. And I'm flying back to Sitka tomorrow, but I'll bring some heat on the plane. really great to talk with you. And thanks for your patience with the technology.
Absolutely. Gunnath Cheesh. Okay, up next, the Juno Symphony partners with the Juno Lyric Opera to bring Juno a rousing production of Candide. We'll have a preview next here on Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
Sweet honey comes from bees that sting, as you are well aware, to one adept in reasoning, whatever pains disease may bring, but the tangy seasoning to love's delicious fare.
Honey comes from bees that sting,
dear boy. Columbus and his men, they say, conveyed the virus hither.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That's a little something from Candide. This weekend, for two performances only, at Yada'a Kathle, JDHS Auditorium, the Juno Symphony partners with the Juno Lyric Opera to present Candide. And here to share about this intriguing project are Christopher Cook from Juno Symphony and Tanner Johnson, who is playing Candide. Gwyneth Chase, welcome, gentlemen.
Hello, thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
Of course. So, Christopher, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about how this partnership with Juno Lyric Opera came about, and why Candide?
Well, as we all know, we're lucky to live in the best of all possible places, stealing a line from Candide, where we have a wonderful arts community here with so much going on. And Sarah Radke Brown and I talk a lot, and she was involved in our Summer Pops concert and is going to be involved in future concerts with the Juno Symphony. And so last year, Sarah and Charlotte Truitt, our executive director, and I were just sort of sitting around and thinking about possible collaborations and thought, well, you know, it's been a while since we've done a big show, a big collaboration between different groups. And everybody was excited. The opera was excited. And we identified Leonard Bernstein's Candide as a great show to do because, first of all, it's a fantastic, witty, wonderful, beautiful, glorious mess of music. And most people know Bernstein's West Side Story. Mm-hmm. And many people don't know that Bernstein was writing West Side Story and Candide at about the same time. So oh, wow. There's a lot of give and take, a lot of idea swaps between them. West Side Story is based on Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. Candide is based on Voltaire's novel, Candide, which is a wickedly satirical novel from the 1600s that somehow Bernstein and Stephen Sondheim and others turned into a stage production. I mean, I have no idea how they did it. It's if I had to list things that would be hard to turn into a show, Candide would be one of them. But we thought, you know, first of all, the Juno Symphony has performed Candide before. It's been a while, and they did sort of a micro version of it. It's been, I think, about 20 years ago. Secondly, with all of the attention that has been focused on Leonard Bernstein's work with Steven Spielberg's new West Side Story that came out a couple of years ago, with the Bradley Cooper movie that will be premiering actually next month about Bernstein's life called Maestro. And it's a great time to be thinking of a great American musician, composer, conductor, pianist. Basically, he did everything. And we thought, what a wonderful thing to bring to Juno.
Absolutely. And it's great partnerships for the community, for two organizations to get together. When you were talking about sitting around with Sarah and thinking, I was starting to think about, Pinky and the Brain. And it's like, what are we going to do tonight, Sarah? same thing we do every night, Christopher. We're going to take off. We're going to take over Juno with musical numbers and all that good stuff. So I think it's great. I think it's great that that's happening. Is there a reason that it's limited to two performances?
That's an excellent question. People always ask.
While you think about the answer to that question, let me just say when they are while we're doing that, because I didn't say that at the beginning.
Fair
enough. I want to make sure that we know that this is it's happening this Saturday, October 21st at 7:30 p.m. and that's a new start time, and also Sunday, October 22nd. At 3 p.m. So that is this weekend. It happens at Yada'a Kathle, Juno Douglas High School Auditorium. And of course, you can go to junosymphony.org for all the information and, of course, tickets and all that good stuff. Okay, so why only two shows?
Why only two shows? All right, imagine getting your friends together for a spirited game of Twister. All you need is a couple people, some flexibility, and a Twister mat. That's it. You pick up the mat, you put it down. Now, imagine getting 100 people together with all of their schedules and instruments and voices and lights and sound reinforcement and halls that have to be rented. And then how many times can you get all that going? And that is why, especially in Juno, where we're fortunate to use the auditorium at Juno Douglas High School, but that space is in demand and we are only able to get it for a limited amount of time. And it's a cast of hundreds, not thousands, but I'm going to say it's a cast of thousands.
Yeah.
And it's a minor miracle getting everybody on the same page for two. So that's why.
Okay. I gotcha.
That's why.
And luckily, JDHS is big.
Yes.
It's, you know, it's like, what is it? 900 seats. seats or 800, right, whatever it is in there. So a lot of people will get a chance to see it. I'm sure it will be sold out. So you want to get your tickets early at JunoSymphony.org. Another plug there. And Tanner, let's chat with you a little bit. So you are playing Candide.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. Okay. So give us sort of the journey of Candide. Give us the sort of the plot. I know Christopher's talking about it's musically wacky and wonderful, all that, but it is sort of still has that satire from Voltaire, and it's got sort of a wild storyline. But what is your journey through this story?
Yeah, you know, it really is quite an odyssey. The best way to describe Candide is he is a relentless optimist, and he's been sort of groomed by his teacher, Dr. Pangloss, which is actually the piece that was playing as we came into this interview there. That was actually a piece by Dr. Pangloss. And he was groomed to believe that, hey, everything is for the best in this best of all possible worlds. And he has to kind of go through his trials and tribulations to kind of understand, you know, reality, so to speak, that there's good and bad and everything in between. And, you know, for Candide's sake, he's pretty innocent himself. So it takes a lot of convincing. So he has to go through quite a journey, a lot of bad, being relentlessly optimistic through the entire thing to kind of realize, hey, there's good, bad, everything in between. So a lot of wacky characters, a lot of wacky events, but ultimately Candide figures it out.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably one of those things where it's like, by the end, he will learn some sort of lesson.
Yes, right? after, you know, he's a lot more relentless than most, would say.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Tanner. Where are you from? What's your history with performing Candide?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm from Kansas City. I've actually worked with Christopher in the past down in Springfield, Missouri. We did a production of Candide. I believe it was in 2019. But most of my performing background has actually been kind of straddling the line between musical theater and opera, which is why Candide as a comic operetta actually fits perfectly in my wheelhouse. It's kind of that perfect combination between theater and opera. So anything kind of straddling that line has kind of been what I've done. I've done West Side Story, so I have a huge love of Bernstein and everything that he's had to write. So
yeah, absolutely. Big fan. Yeah, okay. So that's what I was wondering, is I know a lot of times performances are limited of operas because of just the hefty amount of what it requires on the singers to do. Mm-hmm. And usually they take a night in between, you know, performances, or at least that's the way it used to be. I wonder, it's probably still that way, but like, and then that, and there's also opera singers have sort of their repertoire. So is this, would you consider Candide sort of in your repertoire then, that you can be called up by, you know, it's nice to be called by somebody you work with before. It must means you're a nice person and they want you in the room. That's one of the good things. But to be able to have that in there, is there other things that you love to perform? Like you said, musical theater. What are some of your other, you said you did West Side Story. What are some of your other favorites?
Absolutely. West Side Story, anything Sondheim with Into the Woods, going to the opera side. I've been able to do work with Jake Heggie, who's a new American modern composer. I've also done stuff by Kurt Vile, who's like street scene, stuff like that. It's still kind of straddling the line of light opera with a lot of that American musical theater influence that's kind of integrated in.
Yeah, I remember doing, I'm not a singer at all, but I remember in college, when my freshman year, I had to be in the Three Penny Opera.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember it at all because I was just like, you know, holding boards and moving scenery and stuff, but they don't let me sing. But I know that's, you know, sort of that, again, that straddle between opera and theater, right?
Yep, so, absolutely.
And that makes it maybe, Christopher, a little more accessible for those who think of opera and go, oh, that isn't for me. Like, I don't want to do that. Because it's not just people standing and, you know, we think of opera as like the person comes in, they stand center stage and they belt, right?
Right.
But this is a story. This is like something we can follow. It's a little more accessible.
Right. And really, you know, what makes opera opera is in opera, there is no dialogue. That's essentially the fundamental characteristic of opera. So you can have opera with an orchestra. You can have opera with a kazoo ensemble as long as there's no dialogue.
I'd like to see that.
Right. You just wait. A musical is basically songs and dialogue. So Candide has songs and dialogue. What makes it an operetta? It does have a couple of numbers that are a little more involved, but they're involved more in a way that brings up West Side Story rather than like the tonight scene in West Side Story.
Okay.
So somebody who doesn't know really the difference between opera and musical and anything else, if you walked into Candide and then described what you saw, you're essentially seeing a musical. It's more that than anything. It's very funny, very accessible. And I thought, if I may, I'd like to just introduce some of our other wonderful cast members.
Of course, please do, yeah.
We, of course, have Tanner playing Candide. We have Skibo Wati playing Cunegonde, who is his star-crossed lover, essentially, in the action. Patricia Lateem playing the old lady. David Miller playing the narrator Pangloss. And Martin, who is a sort of very grouch. He's Oscar the Grouch in Candide terms. We have Kayla Colhase playing Paquette. Stephen Ahrens playing Maximilian. And Jay Query in the role of Vanderdinder, Ragotsky, and the governor. And you're like, wow, three things. Well, it's very traditional in Candide to combine roles like that in the kind of Candide we're presenting. So we are presenting essentially, it's a concert version of Candide, which is how Bernstein himself liked to do Candide. He often did it that way. So it's like a concert, except our cast will be both singing and acting and delivering dialogue. So it's kind of almost like going to a really great version of the old Prairie Home Companion show, where you have music and musical numbers and instrumental numbers and dialogue. It's really something.
It sounds delightful. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. As we wrap up, let me remind everybody that Candide performances are in collaboration. The Juno Symphony and the Juno Lyric Opera this Saturday, October 21st at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, October 22nd at 3 p.m. It all happens at Yadaa Kathle Juno Douglas High School Auditorium. Christopher and Tanner, thanks so much for coming in today and giving us a little preview about this thing. And I just want to ask you one last question, Christopher. So I know the musical direction is one thing. Did you happen, because it's concert style, is there no sort of stage director, or is that sort of, how did you put that together?
That's actually Sarah Radke Brown's avenue.
Collaboration.
We have worked together. The symphony has handled sort of the logistics and the musician side or the orchestral musician side. And Sarah has worked with the cast and worked with the staging that we're doing and sort of what I'm going to call the theatrical side.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. I get that now. Good, good, good. And for more information and tickets, you can go to junosymphony.org. Christopher and Tanner, thanks for coming in today. Ganath Jeesh.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Have a tremendous Tuesday. On tomorrow's show, election results and more city talk with KTOO reporter Katie Anastas, plus No Script, All Wit, an improv comedy show happening this weekend. Juno Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Lisa Purvis. Have a wonderful day.